Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you very much for tuning in. We appreciate you hanging out with us for the afternoon, that's for sure. And let's see, in studio today with us, Laura Weens, who is a brand new member of the Union Edge team. Laura, welcome back.
It's great to be here, Charles.
Always a pleasure. We appreciate it. You were out and about today in the field. Steelworkers had a rally in Pittsburgh at noon today. Talk to us about that.
Well, I have to say that there's been a tremendous amount of labor activity happening just today in the city of Pittsburgh.
Right.
But I did end up going to the steelworkers rally at noon, where there were more than 500 steelworkers and partner unions. They assembled at the Steelworkers International headquarters and had a bunch of speeches. And then there was a march to ATI headquarters, Allegheny Technology, that employs more than 2,200 of their members, and they're currently in contract negotiations.
Right.
But their contract is now expired. They've gotten a poor contract offer from the company. And so that's what folks were speaking to today.
Okay, so they got a really lousy offering for the contract. And does the company think they can get away with this? What's going on there?
Well, presumably they think that they can get away with it. I think they're looking back to the history of concessions that the steelworkers have made in the 80s and 90s. I think in the 80s, you know, one of the retirees, Chuck Meredith, spoke to how in the 80s they, you know, because of a bunch of bad decisions by management, they had to take concessions to help save the industry.
Right.
And the steelworkers out there today were clearly expressing that they were not interested in doing that again. But it seems like the directors are hoping for the best, because they've been buying stocks in large quantities recently, and the retiree was implying that they were going to get the concessions that they were looking for.
So management is buying shares of stock. I understand that the stock has taken a nosedive, probably in part because of the lockout.
Well, so I don't think that they're locked out at this point. They're still in work, but they're operating under an expired contract. And, you know, I think the steelworkers are hoping to see a better offer from them on the table. I think it sounds like the company made an offer just a few days ago that incorporated serious increases to the cost of their health insurance premiums.
Mm-hmm.
They more than doubled, increase in the deductible, ending overtime after 8 hours. And I think one of the challenges that they've been facing... Ending overtime after 8 hours, which is a big deal if you work shifts of, you know, 12 hours or more.
Right.
And one of the things that the Pittsburgh Trib-Review reported on recently was how... because of some steelworkers being concerned that their pensions were going to be cut, they've been taking early retirements, which has seen a huge labor shortage, too. So if you've been working 12 hours and then you lose the opportunity to get overtime, that's, you know, it's only going to be exacerbated with the lack of staff.
Yeah, there you go. Plus, ATI, when they first came to the table, had something like 140 concessions that they were demanding. They have a whole bunch of contracted security guards that they're paying for right now that are just sitting around in hotels, and also a bunch of workers that are just sitting around in hotels. I think the steel workers are doing the right thing. They're working. They're doing their job. They're doing it the best way they can. You know, the community is taking it on a haircut on this, because they've extended all kinds of tax breaks to ATI, and you know, that was done with the understanding that the ATI was going to keep good paying jobs in the area. This is not them living up to the contract, I'm sure some people think.
Well, I think that, I mean, it's clear from the size of the rally today, with the energy that was at the rally, that the steelworkers are not about to give this up without a good fight. I want to play a clip from today's rally. There was one of the negotiators, a local president from local 1046 out of Louisville, Ohio, that spoke about, you know, what he thinks about the negotiations. And he's been 23 years as a mechanical maintenance tech at a finishing plant.
It is time that ATI chooses its workers, workers' family, and retirees over corporate greed and CEO's Rich Harsman's big raises. What do we want?
Fair contract!
When do we want it?
Now!
ATI says they want a contract settlement. ATI doesn't want to negotiate fairly. When they promoted Lauren McAndrews into a role of lead negotiator, who prides herself in the skill of union avoidance. Union avoidance. That doesn't sound like somebody that's going to negotiate fairly with us. Union avoidance. That really fires me up. To think that you can sit in a room with a person who promotes herself to busting unions and to say that you want a fair contract and you want to ratify a contract that you believe is fair, that doubles our health care costs, more than doubles it, knocks 60 to 70 years off of our hard-fought negotiations. 60 to 70 years that we fought for those benefits and those rights that we have today. What do we want?
Fair contract!
When do we want it?
Now!
So, Charles, one of the things that Carl Brendel was referring to in that was the increase in CEO Rich Harshman's compensation. And it was said that from 2013 to 2015, he's seen a 70% increase in his compensation, which doesn't sound like a company in hard times, if you ask me.
No, not with that kind of paycheck.
But at the same time, the one of the other speakers who was retiree, Chuck Meredith, he was... an Allegheny Ludlam worker who was part of a 4,000-person strike in 1994 for 69 days. He said, you know, since his retirement, he's seen a decrease by 39% in his pension. So, you know, this company's not, quote-unquote, not doing well. The CEO, however, can get a 70% increase on their compensation, and the retirees have to take cuts.
Wow. It's incredible. What are you seeing from the community? Where's the community at on this?
Well, there was huge community support today. Like I said, it was a pretty active day for Pittsburgh labor. There was a hearing on mandatory sick days being offered by employers in the city of Pittsburgh going on almost simultaneously. Plus, it's the 50th anniversary for Medicare. So folks that are supporting, you know, universal health care, single-payer health care, were also out in the streets on a separate rally. So, and I think there was more going on than just that. There was something else with the Sierra Club. So maybe less turnout than we would otherwise have expected from the coalition partners, other unions, but they certainly were there in spirit.
There you go. And that's a wonderful thing. We know that when we're talking with Erin McClellan, and we'll be talking to her later on today, that the community is supporting the workers. I mean, the people working there are living in that community. They've been extending tax support and other supports to the company. So we'll find out a little bit more about that. So, hey, we appreciate you being out there today. Anything that struck you about today's events?
I guess just the energy. There were a lot of kids and families that were there. One of the wives of the steelworkers also spoke about how important it is to support their husbands and their families. I imagine that there are some husbands that are supporting their wives there today as well.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we've not seen the end of this.
No, we haven't seen the end of it. And Pittsburgh is a good place that Pittsburgh is going to support the people here in the community and at ATI. So this is a wonderful thing all the way around. We got about 1 minute left. Any other comments for today?
Well, so I went to the paid sick day hearing, which happened at 1 o'clock at the city county building, and five council people were there, including the president, Bruce Krause, and the sponsor of the bill, Corey O'Connor, and probably nearly 100 community members were there in force as well, although the business community was there for the first time as well, voicing their opposition to seeing this legislation go through. So for the first time, we heard business arguments. They think it's happening too fast. They claim that if your family is sick and you take off work to care for them, then you should be using paid time off, not sick leave, implying that this is the kind of abuse that they expect to see with sick day legislation. But by contrast, we saw other business owners saying that there are a lot of 18-year-olds that are working in their businesses, and they don't have families to care for, and therefore they don't need sick days. Which...
You know, that's ludicrous. I mean, that's like saying the only people working in fast food are teenagers, when in fact 88% are over the age of 20.
Well, it seems to me too that sometimes teenagers also get sick, so they might also need sick days.
Yeah. So, you know, I don't know what to tell you other than the fact that we're going to continue here at the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio to support paid sick days. And we're not talking about minimum wage. because if you get a track record going back the last 90 days and you're making more than minimum wage and tips, guess what? That's what you should be paid, not this half token effort. So in the meantime, I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Laborers Talk Radio.